Shag me, baby. I'm totally butchered it.
I'm gonna get it right.
Shag me, baby.
Nah, but you told me you didn't
say that.
You
never even said that in a single movie.
They be like, slow up, homie. You talking too fast. I got a couple of quips. I came to talk trash. Yeah, he's Bucky Watts and Bradley Bax. This is going down. We call it the G Splash. Hey.
What up? Yo, what up? Welcome to episode 13 of G Splash. I'm your host, always. Got my man Bucky Watts riding shotgun. What up, Chris?
What's up? You didn't say your name. You said, I'm your host as always, but you didn't say your name. It's like, who are you, guy?
I'm a mystery man. A man of mystery. Austin Powers. My name is Brad, and we are here to talk about cool shit.
Fun
this is
stuff,
G-Splash.
Good times. You know, just all the good stuff. This is G-Splash. What is G-Splash? I don't even know what it is. Tell me what it is.
Chris, I'm glad you asked what G-Splash is. Yeah. So what we do here at G-Splash is we talk comic books, movies, TV shows. We talk music, sports, freaking Tom Brady.
Anything. Sometimes Tom Anything? Brady, not always.
Not always Tom Brady.
Maybe Ted Bundy.
Maybe Ted Bundy. How you been, Chris? How was your week?
Good, man. Good. Working, doing the things. Took a little trip to the Oregon coast. I believe that's how it's pronounced. Had a great time on the beaches there.
Right near the beach, boy.
And, yeah, under the beach, boy. Shag me, baby. and now I'm back. What about you? How you been?
I'm good. I don't know if you knew this, but was it yesterday or today? Today was basically throw in the towel day on your New Year's resolutions.
Really?
So that was, yeah. I guess that's around January 17th is when people start to do that. This week has been great. Had a real cool weekend. And then changed up my hairstyle. Got a new new haircut. Yep.
I don't believe it.
It's very dramatic. I couldn't make it as a platinum rapper, so I just dyed my hair platinum.
Whoa.
Instead.
I am. Color me intrigued.
And I got a super fresh, clean cut. And now I'm a new person in 2018, Chris. It's going to change my life.
Big year for you.
Got to give a shout out to both Liz Rhodes and Liz Crishone over at Spoken Wheel, who hooked your boy up.
The Lizzes.
When you're in the New York area, drop by, make an appointment, you get your hair did. All right, yeah. Other announcements, I guess.
Announcements.
I like that. It was a good segue. we made it finally on iTunes. We are officially our
big
last
time.
Week's big time slapping the bass. we made it to iTunes. We had our first episode last week be the first episode on iTunes right now. This week I will upload the first 11 episodes. Mm-hmm. So we'll have our full back catalog.
I feel like I need a calculator. First of 12 and go 11 minus the 6, season 2, maybe episode 1.
Also, I think I might go dig deeper into the archives and pull some clips from the demo season we did over the summer.
That was fun.
Last summer.
That was like America's Test Kitchen for podcasts. We're like, does that work? Does your voice sound good? Do I look like this? And we still missed the mark, but we did it. We did good.
We're hit. We made it here. We made it.
We out here.
Definitely, if you could do us one huge favor, though, for those that are listening to the podcast, take a second, hop on over to iTunes if you aren't there already, and subscribe. Give us a little subscribe.
Little click-a-click-a-click-a-click-a-click-a-click-clack-clack.
And if you could, and I know the people that are listening to this podcast are our friends, if you could give us that little review, help boost us up those iTunes charts so we can have this dope G-Splash community, that would be huge for us. So we thank you in advance. Check it out.
When we hit number one on the top of the iTunes charts, everybody, the first 20 people that gave us comment, they're all getting Rolls Royces. That's like that's in the terms and conditions of iTunes. So
and you get a car.
You get a car. You get a car. I love it.
Chris does not speak on behalf of G-Splash. This is his own opinion.
They're not affiliated in any way. Enough of these pleasantries and announcements. Let's get into it.
Kanye West and Kim Kardashian had their baby.
This is Yay, good for them.
The third child, who I don't think they've released the name yet, but this was a surrogate. They did the whole surrogate thing.
Yes, it was. I watched that on their television show.
Oh, you're keeping up with the Kardashians, are you?
Well, it's not if it's on the TV, if one episode's on, there's going to be 40 episodes on. It's like they just, well, that's how a cash cow works, though. You know, you're like, ooh, what should we put in our programming slot from 6 a.m. to midnight? We'll just throw the Kardashians in there and they can bumble all over each other for 40 hours straight.
I guess that is very
yes,
true.
Yes, I watch the show.
The marathon. I guess they've been offered up to $5 million for a photo of the new baby. They obviously don't need the money. They've actually turned all these offers down, but what's the ROI on that? Are you really getting a return on that?
I mean, depends on who. Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't know. I don't know how money works anymore in the digital age. I don't know, like, if we're giving it exclusively to BuzzFeed, like, how do they, I don't know, I guess traffic and ad numbers, and you'll make your money back. I mean, God, $5 million, though, for $500, you can take a picture of anything on me you want.
Speaking of babes, Betty White's birthday is today. Betty White. A lot of memes hit the internet with Betty White's birthday. I guess she was trending.
How old is she?
And 96.
96. And still just killing crushing it, I bet.
The joke with the memes was that, Betty White's trending. Is she okay? And everyone's freaking out.
But turns out
she's trending because it's her birthday. And just she's her birthday. Another year older. She got a nice little birthday tweet from Deadpool.
Yes, of course.
So that was cool.
Do you see that picture that he put out there that he posted on his Insta that has the swords and on the bottom of it says B. Arthur?
Mm-mm.
So like they named him and they're like engraved. So like it's like a picture he put on, Ryan Reynolds put on his Insta of looking down the swords while they're like kind of pointing towards the ground. And on the back of each one says B and one says Arthur. So it's like still just crushing those Golden Girls references.
Love it. Love it. So cool. Well, Betty White did give Deadpool 4 Golden Girls for the first film.
Good for her.
In a review. Yeah.
She's a badass bitch. She knows what's going on.
I'd love to hang out with Betty White any day of the week, anytime.
You know who else I'd love to hang out with?
Is his name freaking Mac Wahlberg?
Mackie Mac Wahlberg.
Mac, you can
get
so
you a burger, say hi to your mother for me. It's going to be great.
We talked to Mark Wahlberg last week and just about this whole thing. And what did you say, Chris? You said that Mark Wahlberg should do what?
I said that he should donate that money as a PR move that he got paid. Because he got paid. They did the reshoots for All the Money in the World because Kevin Spacey, it's in the last episode.
Which you can download now on iTunes.
But Kevin Spacey, you know, they kicked him out, brought in Plumber. And then basically they paid $80 a day to his female co-star. While he got $1.5 million for the reshoots. So, and I said, this is a PR disaster, but he's got to donate that money ASAP. He can't hold on to that.
Right. So what Mark Wahlberg actually did was donate his $1.5 million.
I know. That's mock for you, man. The guy's going to do what he's got to do, okay?
He donated to the fund that's helping pay for all these sexual accusations.
That guy.
Court dollars. Yeah. Say hi to your mother for me.
Say hi to your mother for me. God, here's a donation.
Speaking of shitting on the little people, YouTube's new policy apparently is killing off the smaller YouTubers with some new with their new policy they just rolled out. I got this pulled up.
You're talking about monetizing?
Monetizing, yes.
Yeah, monetizing videos.
Yeah, so before, I believe it was like all you needed was like 10,000... views, mm-hmm. and like 1,000 followers.
Yep. And I think you might start getting monetized videos. Yeah, I may or may not work on a large scale YouTube series that is very, very popular in one state.
I'm curious, is this gonna affect you?
No, not at all. I mean, we for what we do is we pay to play, basically, in a lot of ways. Gotcha. Or when we're not, like, it's so weird. It's so different. All the different facets between like Facebook and Insta, like the way you
right,
get
they
your
are, they're different rules.
Yes,
and shit. Yeah.
Everybody has different rules. The way you get your reach, the way that you get organic versus inorganic, the way the videos are seen, the way you monetize. I mean, on ours, monetization settings are basically off because we don't. That's not what our goal is. Right. We're more of like an awareness movement type campaign type thing. So, but I mean, it's a problem. It's causing a lot of rifts in some of the smaller people that aren't there yet and kind of creating a gap. But there's a lot of money going on. It's a weird thing. What do you think about it?
Well, so what it is actually is the new policy states that you need to have 4,000 hours of views now.
Right. Right.
Whereas before it was just 10,000 views altogether.
Yeah.
And you need 4,000 hours of views over the course of 1 year, as well as a minimum of 1,000 subscribers.
Jesus.
So 4,000 hours of views. I mean, unless you have an hour, let's say you have an hour thing you do every however long, you need 4,000 of those videos.
Yeah, basically. Or, I mean, it's all coming down to watch time and what counts as a view and what doesn't, and how it's crazy, man. Their system is just as bonkers as all the other ones.
Apparently, all the bigger celebrities on YouTube don't really mind because it doesn't affect them.
Dude, it's wacky. Turning on monetization settings and stuff like that. Also, like if you're a business or a big brand, like it's something to look out for because you could like put a video you want to push out there as like an ad or a promotional thing. You'd be like, hey, we have this event going on. We have this YouTube video that has done really well for us. Let's put that out there. Well, if you put it out there, then you're having this weird feedback loop where like you're a business that could and realistically get like monetization coming back and how that feeds through and where that all the channels that goes through. So like I've worked on a brand where that was exactly the scenario and we just turned it all off because it was like, what's the point? We're going to end up running into more headaches and what is that? Oh, is there money? Is there no money? Where does it go? What's happened? Then if we just said, forget it, we're just a normal video we're putting money behind.
Right. So, I mean, this between this and Facebook, it's changing a lot of things.
Definitely.
Maybe they're changing all this so that they can pay for Kevin Durant's deal that they just signed.
YouTube signed a deal with Kevin Durant?
YouTube did a deal with your boy, Kevin Durantula.
Yep. The Durantula.
He's been posting a lot of stuff. He's got his own like media company. He's in startup. So he's really into all that stuff. He's a photographer too. Obviously, I'm sure you've seen when he was at the Super Bowl that 1 year.
Taking pictures?
Yeah. I follow him on... Actually, I do follow him on YouTube. He does some cool shit.
Really? As if he's not talented enough.
Yeah, he wants to bring more sports stars to the platform and do more like cool sports shit on YouTube.
Damn.
As like a legit thing. So that'll be cool. Good for him.
Good. Hey, KD, good for you. He's one of our listeners. One of our few listeners.
Yeah. Speaking of NBA, though, have you been paying attention to basketball lately, Chris?
No, other than the Paul Pierce mess, I haven't been looking at
anything. The last two nights, so Monday and Tuesday, there were two fights, and I'll start off with yesterday's because it wasn't as hectic, but there was a fight last night, which is the second fight in a row.
Oh, right. The Blake Griffin. Is this the Blake Griffin one?
No. Last night was the Magic and the T-Wolves. It was okay. Aaron Afalo and Nemanja Bjelica.
Nailed it.
They got in a fight last night. Or what was interesting about this fight is like a few minutes before that, they both just got technicals. And then Aaron Afalo just starts swinging on him. So then Bjelica just puts him in a headlock and, like, you know, stuff starts popping off, blah, blah, blah. This probably wouldn't have been that big of a deal if the night before didn't happen. This is what's kind of interesting about the NBA right now. I feel like the NBA, I've never been so disinterested in the NBA in the last two seasons.
Right.
And
right.
I love basketball. Like, I love basketball. You're all about I love the basketball. NBA. But honestly, dude, I've been watching a few games and, like, obviously I'm a Warriors fan. So, I can tell they're just kind of cruising. They're just cruising through the season, which is fine. And like, I watched the Cavs game and
it's all fine. It's just, what I'm hearing is that you're saying it's fine. It's all fine.
It's just not like, it's not even, it doesn't feel very competitive anymore.
It's not blowing your tits off. I get it.
Right. And so on Monday night when the Rockets played the Clippers, this is Chris Paul's first return back since the whole thing, since he got traded. And even that sounds like it should be a game to watch. And it was a game to watch, but for the wrong reasons. And so this game got out of hand. Lots of stuff. Blake Griffin bumping into Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, yeah. He comes off he's like swings around and bumps him. And then they're like, this motherfucker.
Now, this is where it gets weird. So you have Austin Rivers, Doc Rivers' son.
Yes.
On the Clippers. Not playing. He's hurt. He's in a suit. Talking shit. Which is fine. I don't see anything wrong with that. somehow this escalates into one of the craziest stories I've ever heard. And this has been a trend, somewhat of a trend lately, where players are like walking down hallways and banging on the locker room doors.
Sure. Yeah.
It's happened a few times. I think Melo was involved at one point and a few other players. Like, this thing kind of is a new thing. Usually you just beef it out on the court, talk some shit on Twitter, and it's done. But now it's like players are going to locker rooms. And in this situation, Rockets sent one of the players to the front door. Meanwhile, Chris Paul obviously knows the Staples Center.
Sure, yeah. He's like, I've been here.
And he apparently led Trevor Ariza and James Harden and maybe a few other people down this hidden corridor, or like a tunnel that isn't really well known.
What?
To knock on the back door, and like they try to get in the locker room that way to talk to Blake Griffin and Austin Rivers.
What's the end game? Like what do you is it to fight more? Is it to have like a conversation? Like, what are they going to be like, we should probably talk this out, buddy? Like, why go to all the trouble to try and go from two different angles to get into the other team's locker room? Like, it's not going to end great, and it's not, what's the point?
That's what I don't understand. Like, one, NBA fights, they're great to watch, but they're the worst fights to watch. Like,
sure. It's like they want to fight each other, but they don't like go into it. You know what I mean? Like, you have hockey where they just beat the Christ out of each other. And then on the other hand, you have football where it's like, we're in pads, so we'll push a little. And this one's kind of like, well, maybe I'll swing at you, but probably not, because they'll know.
I mean, I get it. They're not fighters. The game last night, Aaron Afalo like throws this wild haymaker, and you like want to connect, but you don't want to connect because you might get more trouble. But
right.
You, and it depends on if you have an open hand or closed hand, or like what the scenario, like,
dude, it's crazy.
It's weird. I get it. It's physical. You're beefing all night. Sometimes you get frustrated. Your team's losing. Things of this nature is like, it's all part of the game. I understand that. But the aftermath of it, banging on locker rooms and trying to sneak in the back. I don't know what the end game is, man.
They're dealing with it wrong. What they need to do is the ref needs to come over. He needs to hand both them some gloves, like kind of biggish, but not too big boxing gloves. A ring drops down from the ceiling to cage them in. Now you just get to watch them fight it out until they tire each other out.
No, they need to put on those giant sumo wrestler suits and just like knock each other out of the half court circle and then be done with it.
At my junior high school, we had a teacher who'd been there like 1,000 years before as a student. He said that, he's like, you know that room over there? And we're like, yeah. He's like, if you had a quarrel, he's the kind of guy who used quarrel with somebody, they put on like 30-ounce gloves or some crazy, basically like two pillows, and they put you in this room, and the temperature in there was like 112 degrees, and then you just had to box each other until you both passed out. It was like a punishment and an opportunity. You know what I mean? The good old days. How did you deal with their tantrums they were throwing each other? We just let them beat the shit out of each other. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's not illegal at all. Can you imagine if that was today?
Well, we threw them in the hot box, and then we let them fight at each other for a bit, and then we just drug them both out, gave them a little water. They're fine now.
They're fine now, and then we ordered some Kentucky Fried Chicken. I tell you what. I don't know, man. It seems like a guy like Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, you would think they have better heads on their shoulders and as they represent the league. I don't know, man. It's foolish. Suspended.
I'll tell you who else likes a nice piece of man beef. You know what I mean? I'm talking Zac Efron.
Zac Efron, yeah. Speaking of good heads on shoulders, really putting your head in the game. Picture now, this just happened like in the net last like 10 minutes, but Zac Efron just posted a photo of him as Ted Bundy. He's playing Ted Bundy in a movie coming out called Extremely Wicked.
I didn't know that Ted Bundy could sing. There's something I didn't know.
Yeah. Ted Bundy was also in classic films such as Greatest Showman and Hairspray. So Zac Efron is playing, like I said, Ted Bundy. John Malkovich is also in the film.
Oh.
Yeah. So he posted a picture of him in a black and white garb. Looks like he's taking a
prison pic.
Yeah.
Yeah, or some kind of. That'll be interesting. That's a fun one.
So, speaking of movies and the films that we love to hate, Chris,
I love to hate movies. I love to love them, love to hate them, hate to love them. You know, a little bit of everything.
Let's get into our favorite segment. We're switching it up a little bit this time. Some dope movies that may not be so dope. You'll have to figure it out for yourself.
Oh.
But we're doing a weekend movie guide that we call Splash Trash and Meh.
Remix.
Meh. Yeah. All right. So there's about a good couple of movie, good handful of movies coming out this week. Okay. Weekend. First off, let's talk 12 Strong. Have you seen the trailer for this?
The declassified story of the Horseback Rangers.
Yeah, features starring your boy Thor.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth. It's got a cast on it. It's got Michael Shannon. It's got the old Thor. Who else they got on this? It's got a great cast.
It's got Michael Pena.
Michael Pena, there you go. Lots of other B-list actors. Some C-lists in here.
Who's the guy that...
Rob Riggle's that in dude. There.
Yeah,
but not
yeah,
as a funny dude. Guy, as a military guy. Right. It's basically the story of like what? So a squad or whatever of
it's
Rangers.
A, it's a
that
war.
Took down Al Qaeda right after 9/11 using horses.
Right.
That's a great story right there in itself.
So far it's got a 61%. Okay. Not that great. Not that great, but you know, a positive score so far.
Yeah.
I'm back and forth on this. Some you know, you see 10 trailers and you're like, okay. Like,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
There it was.
I'll probably go check this out. What about you?
I could see myself maybe going and seeing this, maybe like the Dollars or something. 61 for me. I mean, you know, just as far as our rating system of Splash Trash or Meh, I mean, I think it's gonna be meh. 60 is usually a 60. It'll probably drop a little bit below 60. It's probably a meh, but you know, if there's one thing about these kind of, patriotic, true story retellings, these films we've seen over and over again, like they can be great or they can be maybe not as great, but they always are going to make money in a sense. Like there's always people that want to see that. There's those strong, you know, patriotic culture. And so you see like Lone Survivor and Black Hawk Down and these movies that that tell these different kinds of stories that people go see.
Right.
So it's a meh, but I think they'll do okay at the box office.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good time killer if it's snowing outside or something.
A little snowy day.
Other than that, you could probably just... Maybe one you want to wait for. Maybe there's something else you want to see before you go see this one.
Maybe Den of Thieves.
now this is gonna be this is gonna be a good one, and I'm glad you said that. So also coming out this Friday is Den of Thieves, which stars 50 Cent as well as
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler, Geostorm himself. which was a terrible movie. Probably one of the worst movies of last year.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. is in this too?
Yeah. Oh, so O'Shea Jackson, who is Ice Cube's son.
Tiny Cube.
Baby Cube.
Baby Cube.
this is about, it's like a heist type bank robbery movie. And, you know, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen Gerard Butler say some shit like, "You think you're the gang?
Yeah.
This is my gang,"
I'll
or
take
whatever.
"You, Dad, I'm the sheriff," and he's running through traffic with a machine gun. Classic Gerard.
Yeah. honestly, like, this movie's probably gonna suck, but there's no tomato score as of yet, which is pretty good indication of a low one.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a blockbuster.
Yeah, it's definitely not gonna be any of those.
But honestly, like, I want to see this movie. I'm probably gonna go see this movie tomorrow.
Isn't it the same? I mean, it's one of those things. It's like not necessarily a guilty pleasure movie, but I don't know, movies that are going to be fun in a way, or like even if they're bad, like Geostorm, like a terrible movie, but you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, you knew what you were signing up
this
for.
This is like, I know what these guys are going to do. Like, I know how this goes. It might not surprise me, but there's going to be gunfire and Gerard Butler going, "Oi, you got it in, oi." And I'm in.
Exactly. So it's probably going to be a trash movie.
Trash.
But I'll see it.
But I'll be there. But I can't help myself. I got a movie pass after all.
Hey, got to use it, right? Get them Regal points up. Also coming out to, I'm assuming, I guess, national wide now, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know. I saw this movie like 2 months ago, I feel like. So I, Tonya, I thought was a pretty good movie. I think Margot Robbie is really good at playing characters that are pretty much already developed and not necessarily actual new characters. So She played a great Tonya Harding. I've seen some interviews, and she had that same, you know, demeanor. And I think she pulled it off really well. There's a lot of funny lines.
She can really sink into a role. I mean, we've seen that in what she's been in. She has a good, like, mix. I mean, she can always, you know, when she was younger, or not younger, but earlier in her career, you know, it's like, oh, the pretty blonde girl that's in these movies. And now she can be like Harley Quinn, or she can become Tonya Harding.
Out of all the movies that we're probably going to talk about today, I would say that's probably, if you haven't seen that movie yet, that's the movie to see this weekend.
Yeah, it's definitely, definitely a splash. I think that's a splash. It's good. Good score. Looks like a good movie. Good acting. Interesting. Intriguing. I'm in.
And the last movie on this list that we have is Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread, the Daniel Day-Lewis movie. He says he's done after this.
Done after this. This is certified fresh 92. I know people that have seen it and
say it's boring as fuck.
So I'm going to say this. I'm actually going to read what somebody said about this film, because I think they nailed it on the head. This is what she said about the film. I think the movie is a masterful work of art in every way, but I don't know if it's a movie that everyone should be going out of their way to see.
Sure.
It's slow, hard to watch, and unless you're really into P.T. Anderson type films, you're probably not going to like it.
Right.
So, it's killing it as far as scores go. I'm not sure how it's doing in the box office, but it's up for a bunch of awards. If you like these kind of movies, you know, you'll like it. If you're not into these type of timepieces, probably one to pass on and go see I, Tonya instead.
It's like a 1950s London movie about a guy that make and his sister that like make dresses and him falling in love. And it's one thing. I completely agree with that, because I do feel like because I've always been a big fan of like the Oscars and watching the Best Picture nominees before and like trying to make picks and stuff like that. But I feel like there are always those movies that it's like, man, that was a wonderful, wonderful film that I wish I'd never seen. Like that was, I got nothing out of it. Like there was a couple, maybe there was a moment, like I understand why this is beautiful and artsy and how it has those people. I'm just like, what the fuck just happened to me? Like, why did I do that?
Right, right. And my roommate's probably going to be mad as hell when I say this, if he even listens to this podcast. But after she said that, the film that I was able to reference in that same scenario was Dunkirk. I thought Dunkirk was going to be a lot better.
Really?
But did you see Dunkirk?
I haven't seen Dunkirk yet.
So I love Christopher Nolan. I think he's great. He obviously loves to shoot with IMAX cameras, which is awesome. Dunkirk was slow and not a lot of dialogue and lots of wide shots. It was filmed great. It looked beautiful as a film, but it's hard to keep your attention span.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh, this is just dragging on.
There's like three different places. You know, you're either on a boat or on the beach or on a plane. And that's really it. Now, to be 100% honest, I fell asleep and didn't watch the rest of it. But
so
that's
not a great start.
So that's how I'm going to end that one. I'm sure it's a great film, and I think it's up for a few awards, but I'm not, you know, making the time to see the rest of it.
You're like, you know what? I'm going to be all right. That's the four, right? Well, it's a splash, but I won't see it because it'll make me go to sleep.
Yeah.
Boom.
There you go. Is it one of the best films of last year? Maybe. I wouldn't put it there.
Maybe. Not for me, but maybe.
That's going to be our movie guide for the weekend. Want, Chris, out of those four movies, what would you see?
I, Tonya. I'd see Jumanji again.
Jumanji wasn't that great.
Right? I loved it.
That's what everyone says. I loved it, but it was okay.
You know what? You're okay.
Out of all those movies, you already know, I'm going to go see Den of Thieves.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be great. Yeah, it'll be a trashy-ass movie,
hard
but
about
I love
that.
It.
You're like, yeah, Den of Thieves.
You can tell it's tough when these movies come out in January, February, and March. Tough season. But speaking of great movies and great power and responsibility,
ooh,
we're going into our Buzz of the Week. Now the shit's about to kick off. This party looks great. Chris, you like
your boy Tom Holland, eh?
Tom Holland Day?
No, I said Holland.
Tom A. Holland Day sauce. It's like a Wheel of Fortune answer.
Hello, I'm Tom Holland.
Yeah, he's British, isn't that weird?
Oi, governor, throw me some spiders and I'll swing through town.
So Tom Holland plays Spider-Man. This much we know.
Duh.
Seen the film. And Sony has come out with the whole Spider-Man villain universe And they're starting with their first film on that with Venom, with Tom Hardy. People have been buzzing for a while now. Is it related to the MCU? Is it not? Seemed like it was originally not going to be a part of the MCU. Tom Holland's been asked multiple times. I guess you could say confirmed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, they saw him on set. I mean, he was there. No other reason to be there.
Right. So apparently, Tom Holland was on the set of Venom for the last 2 days, filming shots, not as Spider-Man, but as Peter Parker.
Right.
So whether or not these scenes that he's in make the cut, apparently he is going to be in the movie, which would make it somewhat tied to the MCU.
Mm-hmm. What's crazy about tying this to the MCU is that it's going to be an R-rated movie.
Is it going to be R?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
They confirmed that it was R-rated. Standalone film.
Which it should be.
Absolutely. Let's have some fun with it.
So I guess that makes this the only MCU movie that's rated R. It's the first one.
If it is actually connected, because he does come together. Yeah, it would be.
Now, my question is, the MCU has had so many different theories about its timeline, and it seems to be kind of an Easter egg type of secret. Like, no one knows. Or what are you thinking as far as Tom Holland's role in the Venom film?
What do I think his role will be?
Yes.
I think that he's just going to basically be like, I think he's just going to show up and have like a one-liner.
You think he'll have lines?
You better watch out, Eddie Brock. Good to see you. And he walks. What do you think? You think he's just going to walk by with his like backpack and he's going to get bumped into or something?
I don't know, man. I want to say, I'm wondering if this is some kind of one. I think it's hype, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. Definitely. It gets super buzz. Super buzz.
Sony's been struggling for a long time. So now that they've got good graces by giving up Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that it was like part of Tom Holland's contract was like he has the choice or something to appear in the Sony films, I think, if he wanted to or something like that.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was something so small as far as like Eddie Brock is walking down the street and bumps into a kid who happens to be Tom Holland.
Sure.
And they just look at each other and then like.
Well, see you later.
Tom Holland doesn't say anything, and he just, that's it. That's the post credits.
That feels right. It almost feels like it's one of those things where, you know, like you go to a movie, expect something, and you walk out, and you're like, that only happened for, I feel like that's one of those, like, he was in the movie for one shot. Ah, we'll probably be talking about the same damn thing when that movie comes out.
Yeah, like James, like, what's his name? Franco in Alien.
Yeah, like, ah. Like
Covenant, yeah. He was only in, like, the recorded shots.
There he is.
On a home camera.
Son of a bitch.
I think it'd be great if Venom was in the MCU. Obviously, he's a beastie of a character who got, as much as I like Topher Grace, he did not do a good job.
God, no. But Tom Hardy's going to crush this thing.
I don't think it's necessarily his fault that he...
No, it's just a bad movie.
I do, however, like the idea and theory that the movie Life, you know what I'm talking about? Was it Life?
Yeah. It was. Yeah, but about the guys in the spaceship. I really thought they were connected, too.
I still, in my mind, I think I'm going to say that they are. Sold. Guys, if you think Venom is going to be dope and you think that Tom Holland's going to crush it and have this killer role,
Let us know.
All right, so we just talked about one of the most recognized comic book characters. Actually, the most recognized comic book characters. But number two right along that is, Chris, your favorite character. We're talking the Dark Knight, the best detective in the world who struggles sometime at being a detective.
You think that Spider-Man's more iconic than Superman? Like, not iconic, but more recognizable. I feel like if you dropped it into anywhere in the world, like some village that had never seen people, and you showed them a picture of Spider-Man and Superman, they would immediately know who Superman is.
I would strongly disagree with you, and I suggest you give it a Google, because Spider-Man is charts beyond any other superhero character.
Really?
In merch sales. In anything.
Well,
like it's a
sales. He's the most profitable. That doesn't mean he's the most recognizable.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Let's see.
You out here selling a dream. Number two is Batman.
Well, this is a terrible list already. Well, Batman got number one in this list. Spider-Man got two. Superman didn't even barely made the top five.
No, because Superman's like, is he an alien? He is an alien.
Anyways,
why is an alien taking up the moniker Superman? Anyway, let's talk some Dark Knight stuff. Talking about Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Boom.
Chris.
Yes.
Let's start with ranking Batman. Batman.
The top three Batman for me?
Yeah, or Batman's.
Oh, you say Batman's or Batman? The Batman. the Batman's.
Number three, go.
Kilmer.
Really?
I liked Val Kilmer in Batman Forever. Mm. I grew up with that movie, and I thought he did a good job. Right. I thought he was a real good Bruce Wayne, actually. I thought he was an okay Batman.
Oh, you did say that. I've heard you say that before. Number two.
Keaton.
Keaton's number two. All right. And your number one, I guess it's pretty obvious at this point, but go ahead.
But because we said Batman, it's Christian Bale.
Right, right.
No, all around I like him. I like his kind of like funny, dopey Bruce Wayne too. He's just the best. There's never been a perfect one. And I should have said Kevin Conroy because he did the voice of Batman and Bruce Wayne in the animated series. That's my favorite one because that is a voice that can do both.
Right, he'll always be iconic, and if I'm being honest, every time I read the comic books, that's the voice I hear.
I read in his voice. He's the one.
You can't. Yeah. Minus Kilmer. I don't know why you threw him up there. I'm going to say...
He's more nostalgic. But who are you going to put ahead of him? Adam West?
Yeah, I'd put Adam Clooney? West up there.
Yeah, Adam West was good for the time.
I'd put Clooney's nipples on the list before I'd put George Clooney.
Clooney's nipples.
Actually, also probably low key on a bunch of people's radars, but did it really well and was awesome. Is Will Arnett
in what?
Is that the right actor in the Lego movie? Batman Lego movie.
Oh yeah. The Lego Batman. That's a great voice. Or if you like funny stuff, just watch the Pete Holmes Batman.
Pete Holmes, yo, one. Yeah, Batman, yo, Pete yeah, Holmes,
Batman.
Yeah, no, I'm giving those man. I'm giving those two honorable mentions straight up. Will Arnett and Pete Holmes. So if you haven't seen Batman, definitely check that out.
It's on College Humor, amazing.
I struggle with Keaton and Bale only because Keaton was awesome. But I think the Dark Knight trilogy that came out by Christopher Nolan was such a dark film. All of them were pretty dark, and like they just that's what Batman needed to be. And I thought it was good. So I gotta give it to Christian Bale. But
nice.
Now we're stuck with Ben Affleck phenomenon.
Yes, that's why we're talking about this whole thing, right?
Yeah. So rumors have been circling that it's Jake Gyllenhaal is going to replace Ben Affleck. If you saw Southpaw, you know that he's got the jacked body to do it, whereas Ben Affleck
He's freaking ripped!
Was like a fat man instead of Batman.
Fat man.
Talk about one of the worst ways to go out, though. Like, Ben Affleck just... Because he's a big Batman fan, am I right?
I mean, he must be. That's a tough place to be in, too,
But he's a fanboy. Like, he loves Batman. And, like, he's got the opportunity, but he fucking dropped the ball.
Well, I mean, but is it... We go back around about this, but, like, think about it. It's not like he was in a great film and he was the anchor that was dragging it down. Like, it basically would be no different than Robert Downey Jr. If he had taken Iron Man stuff and those movies all fucking sucked, we'd be having the same thing about like, whoopsie doodle. But instead they were all awesome. These ones just were really poorly written, bad character design. The movies are all cut up and weird. And then you just have him who's not really doing, I'm not going to say he's doing great. He's not, but it makes it look worse. And now he's like, look, I was trying to be the Robert Downey Jr. of DC. And now I want out because this ship just continues to sink. Every time they put out a movie, they're like, well, it's going to be action-packed, but there's no talking, and there's no characters, and everybody's dumb.
But he had the opportunity to really, like, dig into it. Like, they gave him the green light to direct his own film, and it's notable. It's been known for a long time that the only person that can direct Ben Affleck is Ben Affleck.
Well, so he wanted to get off the ship. He's like, I'm not going to be a part of any more of DC terrible movies.
I don't know, man.
What else are you doing in your free time, Ben? You're not busy. Make an Argo 2? Get out of here.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Argo was a good film directed by who? Ben fucking Affleck.
Ben fucking Affleck.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I think he was almost afraid to succeed.
Interesting. I agree.
You're directing a role that you want to be in, that you love, and when you finally got the call to be Batman. No one believed in you, but you had the opportunity to turn it all around in your own film, and like,
he cracked under pressure like a big idiot.
You made this other stupid movie that no one cared about, and you got asked about Batman the whole time because no one cared about your film.
What, the Long Night or whatever, a long good night's sleep or some shit like that. The gangster like, drives around in the 40s.
It's basically a long version of Smooth Criminal without good music.
Well, you know what? Whatever, old man Ben Affleck, if he's out and if the rumors are true and they're bringing Gyllenhaal in, I'm down to clown. I'll watch that movie.
Are we falling back into the Batman trilogy of the 90s where we're just going to accept a new person, or is this going to be a whole new story?
I think it's going to be a whole new story.
I thought you told me off the podcast that he was going to be in Suicide Squad 2.
No, that's Ben Affleck's last appearance as Batman in Suicide Squad 2, apparently. That's the again.
Are they going to kill him off?
No, I think that we're in that universe we accept. It's no different than how we accept James Bond changes. It's a little different because you can be like, if they would come out and say that name can go to different people, it would be, but they never do. They never like even allude to like the old 007 would have been better. You know, it's supposed to be the same guy. This is obviously different because it's Bruce Wayne is always going to be Bruce Wayne. But at the same time, he wears a mask. Who knows what he looks like? You know what I mean?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, my friend.
You got a problem with it?
I got a huge problem with that because, like you said, he's Bruce Wayne. And that is a well-known man. And number two, there's not the same character showing up in new James Bond films from other films that was the same character.
You're right. So, sometimes they recycle characters. Like Blofeld.
So there's been two different Blofelds?
Yeah, there was the one in the
I don't even know who that is.
Like the bald guy with the cat. And then that's who, in the newest one, that's who, Spectre, that's the Christoph Waltz, that's who he played.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, that would be a revamp of that somewhat film. Maybe a different story, but like, that's like Batman, Michael Keaton, and Jack Nicholson versus Bale. Dude. and Heath Ledger.
Right.
Right.
I have something. Hold on. This just hit. So I was just looking at this article. And it says there are rumors that his last appearance as the Dark Knight will be in the upcoming sequel to either Suicide Squad or the Flash film Flashpoint. If he really wants to bow out of this, how freaking dope would it be if in Flashpoint, when Flash fixes everything and comes back, Gyllenhaal's Batman? Like, that's the change, is that like there was a change and now he looks different. They don't like even, or maybe then like comically address it. Like, you don't look like you. It's like this. I've always looked. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a sitcom fix to a series. When a new cast member comes on, like Aunt Viv and Fresh Prince, are like, there's something different about you, Aunt Viv, but I can't figure it out.
You gotta do something, or else you can make the only other option I can think of is to make him like kill Bruce Wayne. And have him be Dick Grayson, who comes over and picks up the cowl. And then there's like a little backstory about him being Robin and ties to the Joker and the Robin suit and all that bullshit. I don't know. I'm in. Jake Gyllenhaal's a handsome guy. Looks like a shadow cat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I obviously want to see a good Batman, and I think Jake Gyllenhaal could definitely pull it off and do great. But
I think he could do
both. I hate, this is one thing I hate in films with continuity errors, and I feel like we're so far from this whole thing. To do like a 90s recap or a reloop is not the business.
Well, they're not exactly most inventive over there at DC movie-wise, so wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I can concur with that.
Donnie Dark Knight O. Wheel of Fortune one for
someone
you.
Someone really fucking pulled out the magic hat on that one.
That's a stretch!
I love that Warner Brothers kind of poked fun at its own mistakes in the Teen Titans Go trailer, which we posted on our Instagram.
Teen Titans Go to the Movies?
Yes, I love that. This is going to be the superhero film to end all superhero films. And it's like, all of a sudden, all the characters pop out in Wonder Woman outfits, and they're like, right. Wonder Woman, this woman. And then Robin's like, this movie's not about Wonder Woman. And then Cyborg's like, we're just trying to give the people what they want.
I love it.
Because Wonder Woman killed it, and like Justice League sucked.
That's like Teen Titan Go's MO. You have to be like That's their thing. Like, they can be cheeky about everything.
You've seen the episode where Flash is in it and Robin's racing.
Freaking hits him with a
oh my God.
Pipe and breaks his knee and then just, beats him and everyone's so happy.
Just so he can win a race against Flash.
Kneecaps him. He's like, man. God, I think it's broken. Oh, God. And they're all like, you're going to do it. You're going to win.
Good.
Great show. 15 minutes at a time. Very, very easy to watch.
Yeah. So while we're on the topic of Batman, there's other adaptations of Batman.
Sure.
What is one of your favorite comic book events or storylines?
With Batman in it?
With Batman.
I bring up Hush a lot, but actually I think one of my favorite ones I love for the art and the story and that it's self-contained. I love the Long Halloween.
I was just going to say that, yeah. I saw
that
today.
That's an amazing. The way that moves through and like the art's kind of got this very interesting style to it. And the whole story, the mystery that he's trying to solve that takes place, these murders taking place on these holidays through the year. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And he's a great Batman. He's got his cowl has like these fucking tall, pointy, like they're super long in that one, but not like comically long. They're just like a menacing long. It's awesome. So good.
I did see a French fan film that was actually pretty good. I do not remember what it was called. And I don't want to say it was really good. It was really fucking dark and twisted.
It was like a TV series?
No, it's on YouTube. It's like 6 minutes long or 15 minutes long, but it's all in French.
Sacre bleu.
It's all in that
scene. Animated?
It's kind of like Sin City. No, it's filmed with real people.
Really?
Yeah. I just happened to stumble across it, but it was interesting. It's very dark, very bloody, very non-Batman. It's got the Joker, Harley Quinn. You should Google. It's worth a Google. It's worth the Googs.
I don't even know what to Google.
Just French Batman fan film.
That's what I put in. I didn't put in fan film. I lied. Got it.
You got it. You
ashes
see it?
To ashes.
Yeah, it doesn't remind me of a familiar story, but it's very R-rated for sure.
Ooh.
I'll say this, one of my favorite adaptations of Batman is this new series that has come out called White Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the Killing Joke. I didn't like the animated movie.
No, it was garbage.
I liked it, but there was things that I didn't like about it. White Knight is cool. I love that they used Jack Napier as the Joker's name, because that wasn't a thing, right?
Sure, yep.
That name was made for the Batman film in 89, correct?
Yes. From what I know, I believe that, yes.
Right, because the Joker technically doesn't... You never know the Joker's name, real name.
No, he has three names. In the comic series, you never... The actual, like, linear, you don't... We still don't know.
We got multiple backstories as well. So I think you've been reading that comic book series as well, correct?
Which one, White Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read the first two. I got to catch up on
other
ones.
It's great. It's a good twist. I love that Batman is now the bad guy. And you got the Joker who has turned his life around somewhat, but still, I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens. It's very suspenseful in the sense of like, what's really going on here. You got two Harley Quinns.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I would
it's
say
all,
that
it's all it's definitely the art style is good. It's a little more intense, a little darker in some ways.
I actually really love the artist on it. And I actually got my roommate into this series. Who is the artist on this? Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy did script, art, and covers.
Well, what a guy. I think it's you were saying earlier, like you got your roommate into reading comics with that one. So if you're not super, if you're new to comics or you're interested in like reading, White Knight could be a cool one to start off with because it's like not in the big main series where you feel like you're like 6,000 issues behind, but it's also a cool story that gives you a peek into a different kind of Batman.
Right. I think is it supposed to be like 6 or 12? I don't know. But yeah, no, I think it's a great one to get into, especially if, you know, we've also been bombarded with Batman and the origin story of Batman. So this is a good kind of place to pick up on. It's dark. It's gritty. It's very adult. And
very adult.
My roommate's an artist. He's a really great artist. I was like, yo, man, just read this and let me know what you think. He's already asking me for trade paperbacks that aren't even out yet. So
boom.
That's how you know it's good. That's how you know it's good, you know?
That's how you know you're going to like it.
I do like... One thing I do like about the Batman Lego movie is they make the references to all the other Batman films.
Oh, absolutely. That's what makes that thing so amazing. If you've like, as an adult watching a Lego Batman movie, I'm like, yup.
Right. They talk about Prince. that time you had a parade dancing, no Prince music playing.
Yeah, they freaking do the whole thing. They like they call it everything. They have certain people. They do things like it's amazing. They did a great job.
Anything you want to wrap up on Batman?
No, I think we pretty much put a nice little bow on this Gyllenhaal Batman Batarang Batcave thing.
I'm interested to see what happened. Will we ever see a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the Batcave? I don't know. Well, but
why not?
Why not? And a giant penny.
And a giant penny for some goddamn reason.
Is there anything you're reading right now, Chris, or watching on the entertainment world?
Comedians in cars getting coffee. All that got released on Netflix. I've been watching that like a madman. And I've been reading All-Star Superman still, and which is old. It's like 17 years old. And other than that, no, nothing. I took a little trip, so I didn't have a lot of time. But now I'm back in it and ready to dig my heels into some TV and stuff.
For me, I've been reading a bunch of different series. I'm still trying to figure out what Marvel's doing.
What are these guys up to?
As far as comic books go. But I will say this. There's a actually really, really cool show. And it's got a great cast that I've been watching that I don't think a lot of people know about. It's called Super Mansion.
Don't know it.
So this is a...
Oh, yeah. It's the animated series what's his name?
Bryan Cranston. Seth Green makes appearances here and there, but it's his company that put it together, production company. It's a stop-motion animation show, much like Robot Chicken. But this cast is got Bryan Cranston, Chris Pine...
Damn.
Keegan-Michael Key. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it right.
The chick from Workaholics. Okay. Who else is on there?
Where do you watch it at? What app's
on? Low key, Sony has its own entertainment app. It's called Crackle.
Okay. Oh, Crackle. Yeah, duh. Crackle.
Yo, it's a funny show. It's about... It's kind of like a washed-up Justice League. Who are a couple of superhero misfits, but they're trying to, like... continue to have the government pay for all their stuff.
This is worth a watch. I'm gonna have to get my Crackle going.
The reason I know about this show is I saw it at Comic-Con when they did a Halloween special, and they had the whole cast and crew up there.
You were like, all right, this seems
pretty
cool.
It was
one
of the most funniest panels I've ever seen.
Well, I'm gonna crackle it up.
Get it crackling. In closing, if you haven't yet, follow us up on Instagram at G to the Splash.
It's dope. Our stories are dope.
We got dope stories coming every single day. There's a new one. Also, hit that subscribe button on iTunes. We are now on iTunes now, so we can say that. We get it cracking.
Get it
crackling. But we'll see you next time right here on G Splash. I'm Bradley Baxter. This is my man Chris Watts.
Whoop whoop, that's me. And why did whoop whoop? Bye bye. Yeah.